I am so excited about what the Lord has in what we're going to be studying this morning, because it's truth for the saints, and it's a real meat message. I just want to kind of warn you. It's filet mignon. You know, I mean, it is really good stuff that the Lord has planned for us saints. And I want to kind of warn you, if you don't know the Lord, hopefully by the end of the message, when you see what God is telling us about who we are in Christ, you'll be jealous and you'll want to get in on this good stuff that God has for his saints. Before we start, I just want to put three verses up there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to 16. Came across this recently. Yeah, we've read it before. But it's just such a reminder in our identity in Christ. And as we read, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ," always leads us, "and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one," of course, the ones who are perishing, "an aroma of death to death. And to the other, an aroma of life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Well, the spiritual man or woman has been equipped to be the aroma of Christ here in this world." So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1. I want to recommend to you, Pastor John has just recently finished Ephesians. And I don't get to come here on Wednesday nights because we're over there with the youth. But he did a tremendous in-depth study of Ephesians. And this chapter we're looking at was 3 weeks through March into the beginning of April. So I highly recommend, because when you listen to that, you'll realize how much there is there. You know, and we're only touching on some of this chapter. But it's great truths and promises to you and I on how to live that heavenly life here on earth. How to access what God has laid up for us here and now in this world to be that aroma of Christ to this world who just wants hope. And we have hope in Christ. So let's start reading. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So in Christ, we are already in the heavenlies. On earth, Christ is in us. In the heavenlies, we are in him. And he has already blessed us with these blessings. They're ongoing. They're from the foundations of the earth, which we're going to see. And they also continue each day because he wants to bless us with true heavenly knowledge and wisdom and revelation. And he wants the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he wants his kingdom being revealed through us because we are the ambassador of him to this world from the kingdom. And I just want to put out there a couple of verses in Ephesians 2:6. You don't have to turn to it. We have it up here. And it says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And also Ephesians 3:10. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places." So I know it's a mind blower, but we're in the heavenlies with him right now, right here, in him. And he wants us to reveal things to us from that perspective so that we can live out his kingdom here on earth for so many reasons. So as we read on verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world," that's great, isn't it? "That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will." Good pleasure. You know, he enjoys living through you. He enjoys not only that he has adopted us as sons and daughters, but he also, which we're going to see in a few verses, in verse 9, he's going to tell us that he enjoys revealing his mystery of his will to us. He enjoys that because he enjoys you. We sometimes think, oh, yeah, but I'm so sinful. I'm this and that. He goes, he already knows what you are here, but he also sees you the way you are in heaven in him. And what he wants us to do is here on earth, tap into what we are in the heavenlies and live who we are in the heavenlies here on earth. And we're going to see that we do that through the hope of our calling. So as he goes on from there to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. There it is, according to, again, his good pleasure. This is what excites the Lord, seeing us live his life down here, his customized life. You know, because he's designed us with personalities, with careers, with a plan for our life. And that's why he's living that customized life through you. You know, I read once, I believe it was Paul, he actually said that I have suffered what was lacking in Christ's sufferings. And you're like, well, how did Christ lack it? Because not only aren't we here to do things that Christ never did, because we're doing more than he ever did. He said, us saints are going to live and do even more things than he did while he walked the face of the earth, because there's more of us, right? And we're in more places than he was when he was solo on the earth. But also we're suffering in ways that he didn't suffer, right? So that we could completely manifest the life of Christ in all areas, in all aspects of life. And then as we go on, in verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, because it is his good pleasure to do this. You know, he wants to reveal his will to us because it is his good pleasure. You know, we know in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, you know, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove what God's perfect will is. You know, he wants to reveal that to us. And also, Josh, if you could put up the next verse, John 15:15. If you recall, he was at the Last Supper with his disciples. And this is before the Spirit of God came down upon them at Pentecost. And he had already, this was actually before he breathed the Spirit into them as well. But he said, you know, you should be glad I'm going, because unless I go, the Spirit won't come. And he will be your counselor, and he will reveal these things to you, and he will convict the world of their unrighteousness through you. But he also said, you know, I no longer call you my servants. You're now my friends, because I reveal everything my Father told me, I tell you. You know, that has always been his good pleasure to confide in his disciples, to tell them things that no one else understood. Remember when he was preaching in parables and he's like, now let me tell you what it really means. Because he enjoys revealing truths to his saints. That's what really excites him. In fact, in Romans, we don't have it up here, but Romans 28, he actually says that, you know, because he foreknew us from the foundations of the earth, okay? And those he foreknew, he also predestined to be the image of Christ, so that Christ would have a lot of brothers and sisters in heaven. And those he predestined, he called, which is what we're going to see soon about the hope of our calling. He called us because he's predestined us. And those he called, he justified, made us sin-free in the heavenlies with him, and which we will be someday. And those he justified, he glorified. You know, so that's our calling. And as a result of that's who we are, it says, and the Spirit intercedes for us, even in our prayers. You know, we could be praying like, I really want that new whatever. And the Spirit's saying, no, stop that. And he's interceding for us, really praying what we should be praying. You know, he's telling us what he really wants for our life, you know, because he is interceding in heaven for us through his Spirit. And he's actually telling us what to pray for by the Spirit. And you can read that in Romans 28. So as we go on from there, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, verse 13, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And then verse 15, here's where we're going to really start to zoom in. In verse 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, you know, love for all the saints. I found the closer I get with God, the more love I have for his saints, for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, the more appreciation I have for them. Because I realize, you know, like we read the first couple of verses, they're the fragrance of Christ. They remind me of my citizenship and my future in heaven. They remind me, you know, because we're before the foundations of the earth. They remind me of who I belong to. I'm not saying all the time. You know, we all have our things that we get, that we corrupt a little bit of that fragrance, but really, I appreciate the saints. And the more I love the saints, I find that God even pours more into my life through the love for the saints. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us seven simple steps on how to add to your faith. And as we build to our faith, the sixth item is brotherly love. And it comes before agape love, because really, if we can't love our own family, it's very difficult to love anyone else. Because if we don't like the saints, then how are we going to properly love those who aren't saints? Probably that love is corrupted, maybe self-motivated, you know? If we can't love our brothers and sisters who are in the heavenlies with us, you know? It's like you can't choose your family. Right? I mean, we're stuck with each other, you know? And knowing that sometimes is really beneficial. You know, when you're at home, if you're arguing with your spouse, your brother, your sister, whatever, and then you stop and think, well, you know what? You know, what's the point of this silly argument? I'm going to see them later on today, tomorrow, the next day. I mean, I'm stuck with them. And you know what? We're going to work this out because I love them and they're my family. You know, and probably I'm part of the problem. I mean, really, if we really look at it, we're part of the reason why we're not having that fellowship and love in the Lord. You know, we're not unified probably because there's something I'm holding on to. You know, I heard recently a great example of how as the Lord builds his church, his the building, which is, you know, really the bride of Christ, which is the church. And as you ever hear this example of rocks rubbing against each other, you know, as he builds his church, you know, we're each like a rock in the church of God. And, you know, we rub against each other, but we're both getting a little smoother because no one has it all together, you know. And I find that the more I value fellow saints, how God has gifted them, and I realize, you know what, they're like that. And I'm like this. Now, what is God trying to put together here? How am I going to benefit from this fellow saint? And how can I benefit his life? When you start to think of brothers and sisters in the Lord that way, it's amazing. Because suddenly you realize we do all fit together. If I'm not trying to change someone or make them more like me, or I'm not jealous of things I wish I had or was like, and instead I'm realizing, no, this is all happening for a reason, you know? Love for the saints. I have a quick example of this. We were on a junior high missions trip a few weeks back, and there was a guy there who was, you know, very, I'll just say the word, OCD. You know, he was very, had things he wanted the way they should work, and he was just a fellow leader for a different church and everything. But he was very methodical, very rigid about things, and he really had, you know, a task in mind of various things. And you know, quite frankly, I could use some OCD in my life. I really could. I mean, like, so people like that, I'm a little maybe envious. Like, I wish I could be this, like, bam, 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 bam. Because I'm more of like an artisty kind of person. Like, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know. So, like, he's sort of ruffling everybody's feathers, you know. And, you know, some of the leaders are like kind of, yeah. And, you know, and he did things the way he wanted to. But, like, it's cool because the Lord suddenly revealed it. And you're like, look. He's mine. And what are you, why is here with you? What is the reason behind it? And it was so cool when I started like loving him because he's my family. And as he was doing some things I didn't necessarily agree with, I started realizing that, you know, I just had this love for him. I said, you know, I could tell you're really gifted in administration, you know? And as we start talking, it was true. He says, really? Thanks. I never thought of that, you know. But, and then as, you know, we both shared some things after that, and I realized, you know, he's here to remind me that I could be a little more organized at times, you know. And I shared some things with him that maybe he realized, you know, how about softening up a little bit about these things? And in the end, I saw him a couple weeks later when I went down to CEF, Children Evangelism Fellowship, just to do some speaking. I saw him there, and we're like friends. I'm like, yo, and we're talking. We're just like, and I really like him a lot, you know? And I like how quirky he is compared to me or different. And it's awesome. It's really awesome. I love him, you know? And it's like, that's what it's all about, us Christians realizing that, you know, we have each other. And there's a reason we are the way we are, you know, and to appreciate the fellow saints so that all of our lives can be benefited because really we're all the body of Christ. And we need to be strong on this earth, not casting stones and division and separating because the world's looking at that and say like, and I want part of that. What are you kidding me? I see that everywhere else. There's no faithfulness down here. And you people aren't even faithful to each other, you know. And it's like he really wants us to love each other. So verse 16, and do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and truth. You know, that wisdom and that truth. You know, revelation is wisdom and revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because revelation is unveiling. It's like bearing naked. It's revealing things, you know, exposing things. But wisdom is knowing what to do with what you're envisioning or seeing. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians to say, you know, I want you to have the wisdom and the revelation. And he's going to tell them why in a second, because what he wants them to know are things that are in the heavenly set up for us, laid ahead for us, that he wants us to tap into now to live down here. So as he goes on, he says, revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay. And those aren't these eyes because we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, these are eyes that are deep within us, you know, and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the hope of his calling. You know, what is the hope of his calling? Remember Romans 8, it says we are predestined to be the image of Christ and he calls us because no matter what the situation is, we know that we are predestined like him. So whatever the situation is, we are called to allow him to live through us. Allow. It's like rest. He says, come to me, all your weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. It's not works. It's resting in him. Christ, what are you going to do? You know, you see the situation. I'm just going to rest and wait because you're going to do something. You know, wherever Christ is, something happens. You know, he's always crushing something or breaking something apart. But something always happens. Because in the end, it's all about him. So he can put things back together. So, Lord, what are you going to do here? You know, the hope of his calling. I want to show you a few verses because, you know, our faith is the substance. That means the foundation of what we hope for and the evidence of what is not seen. So in our faith, we know we are in Christ And that foundation is what we're hoping for, so we have access to who we really are in Christ. And he wants to allow us to see in hope who we are in him. There's a ton of verses that I found out last service. I really don't have time to show all of them to you. But I would like to show one to you. Hebrews 6 talks about how, you know, let's not rebuild the foundation, okay, of repentance. You know, a believer shouldn't be in perpetual repentance. I mean, that's not where we're meant to be, because we are forgiven, and repentance is turning our mind to what is new, the new creation. And really, when we know who we are in Christ and we allow him in to really transform us, we're living now his life. And really, repentance is for the immature believer to always be repenting. I'm not saying asking for forgiveness, because we all sin. I'm not saying that. But we're no longer chained to our sins. You know, we're no longer identified in sin. We're identified in Christ, and he doesn't sin. And when we change our mind, we move past that repentance, and we move towards perfection. And read Hebrews 6. It tells us all about this pattern of maturity. Okay, now you know what you've been forgiven of. Now move forward in Christ. And I love the end of the chapter, which leads to the epitome, really, of maturity. That's why I say this is like a filet mignon meal for saints, because it's truth. But I know it's a little like, it seems very cosmic to me. I don't know. But watch Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, this hope, remember the hope of our calling, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We're anchored in heaven, anchored of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. He's talking about the heavenly tabernacle or temple, which enters behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus, our high priest. So he is behind the veil, and he's allowing us in so that he can reveal things to us. I have a picture in my head about Moses when he would go into the tent of meeting, and he would enter and he would speak to God, and all of Israel would wait, like, what's he going to say? What did God tell him? Except Joshua, he was hiding out in there. But he's going to come out and tell us something, something from God. You know, he wants to reveal these things, and that hope in who we are in Christ will allow us to see into our future, which is really our, in the heavenlies, which is outside of time. It's not really the future. I'll read a couple of verses to you. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God through that hope. It's almost like a lens, like a scope. I was trying to think of, what is hope a good example of? You ever have arthroscopic surgery? I know I did. And, you know, they go in there with a scope to do surgery on you. And they, that way they don't have to hopefully cut you open to do the surgery. And they're going in through these things, and they're watching it on a monitor, and they're in there. And like, in a real sense, our hope is like a heaven scope. Do you know what I mean? That hope scope, get it? I don't know. It worked for me a little bit. But it's like heaven scope. Or even better, I thought, I'm being corny, but it's helped me remember. Or like heaven opened. Heaven opened hope. You know? It's he's revealing things to us through the hope in who we know we are in Christ. And he allows us to see us the way we really are. And he allows us to receive revelation from him so that we would know the great joy that we have in him. So the hope of our calling, you know, that's the first thing he's telling them, that he's praying that they will have revelation for the hope of their calling. And the next thing he's telling them is the riches of their, of God's glory. He says, what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I mean, the Lord has riches. He has blessed you with gifts of the Spirit, like we talked about earlier, you know, the administrative gift. the preaching gift, the various gifts, the talent to work with your hands. These gifts he is predestined for you to have for a purpose. And he is blessing those, and those are the riches of his glory. But not only that, but he has also predestined good works for you to walk in. And then he has also rewarded you with this, with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, the godliness. You know, that's what's being poured into our lives. The riches of his glory. To know what he is pouring into you makes you realize, well, then maybe I don't necessarily need more money. Instead, I need more richness in the Spirit. I need more rich relationships. Because a new car isn't going to make me happy, but more relationships that bless my life will. Do you know what I mean? Those are the riches of his glory in the inheritance of his saints. He wants to bless riches, spiritual riches into your life. And then finally, the greatness of his power. Because the Lord has power to rise Christ from the dead. That same power works in you and I to raise our mortal bodies to live spiritual lives. We're just a tent that the Spirit is living through. His mighty, mighty power. You know, there's a verse that says, humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of the Lord. And in due time, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. And I know there's many times that all of us may feel we're in a dark place and not much is happening. I'm not seeing much, Lord. Where's all this revelation? I don't see anything. You know, that might be when we're under his palm. You know what I mean? When we're humbling ourselves beneath the mighty hand of the Lord. And if we just remain there, don't start to peel his fingers off and say, I'm sick of this. Let me try things my way. But just allow him to just protect us for a while. Maybe there's some storms that are overhead that you don't even know about. Maybe there's some things that he just doesn't want you to see or experience, or he wants to protect you from. But I'm telling you, at a certain point, he is going to say, look, man, look, this is revelation. This is who I am. This is who you are. This is how much I love you. And this is where we're going. This is where we're going. He's going to lift you up with his mighty power. You know, these principles, these three things, the hope of our calling, the riches of his glory and the inheritance of his saints, and also the greatness of his power. I want to give a biblical example of this. You know, we all know the story of David and Goliath. And David, when he was a boy, Samuel was told, because Saul was not a good king, Samuel, the last judge, was told to go and to anoint with the horn of oil David. So he went to Jesse's house. No, it's not the first seven brothers. Isn't there anyone else? Well, the little guy out in the shepherding the flock. Well, bring him in. Bring him in. So David comes in, and there he anoints, in front of the whole family, he anoints David king. And of course, from there, the Spirit of God came upon David, because David now was empowering him from on high. He was empowering him to live a supernatural life, you know, and if him, even much more us, because we are now the new creation. He was not the new creation yet, you know, I don't have time to get into that, but really, you know, even so much more us, you know. So David was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So then he went back. He's, you know, take care of the flock, and a lion comes in. You know, he kills him. I mean, who, a kid killing a lion, kills a bear protecting the sheep. You know, life is going really good for David, you know. And then he gets called in to play the harp for Saul because he was an talented musician, you know, and he comes and he's playing the harp for Saul. I mean, things were happening for him, you know, and then all of a sudden, Goliath and the Philistines come against Israel, and there for 40 days, 40 nights, Goliath's walking around. Come on, don't you have anyone courageous enough to come against me? you know, this 9'9" guy with 150 pounds of armor on him and a spear. Just the spear was 17 pounds, the spearhead, you know, and it was like a weaver's. I mean, this guy was humongous, powerful, and everyone was quaking in their boots, especially Saul. They didn't want to go near this guy, you know. And all of a sudden, David gets sent by Jesse, go see how your brothers are doing on the front line. So he goes to the battlefield. He's giving this stuff there. And all of a sudden, he goes, all right, so what's going on here, you know? And all of a sudden, they're saying, well, listen to what this guy's saying, you know? And he's listening. And he's listening. And the Spirit of God is just charging him up, charging him up. And they say, you know what's going to be done for the guy who takes care of this guy, who kills him? He's going to receive riches. He's going to marry the king's daughter. I don't know if he saw her yet, but I guess it was enticing. And also, his father's house would be spared of paying taxes, you know, blessings to his family. He's like, really? Really? Wow. You know, of course, his big brother's saying, get out of here, you know. And he's like, no, wait a minute. And then he just keeps saying, so what's all this? So, yeah, that was not the motivating factor, but it was intriguing. But what he said is, who is this Philistine to defy the nation of the living God? Who is this? Why isn't anyone standing against our enemy? By not standing against the enemy, what we're doing is allowing our brothers and sisters to be quaking in their boots too, you know? And he kept asking, and finally it got up to Saul. He heard about it. He said, all right, listen, yeah, you can't do, but you know, try my armor on. He's like, no, I'm not feeling this, you know? I have what I need, a sling and some stones. That's what I need, you know, because he knew that God already gave him the riches he needed to finish the job. All of us have what we need to finish the job. And then, of course, he went forward and Saul said, you know, you're just a boy. And he said, no. No, look, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. He's going to be like one of them, you know. And then when he charged the front line, he said to, as Goliath was mocking him, he said, today everyone will know who's here, that the Lord does not win the battle with sword and spear. This battle is the Lord's. And today he will place you in our hands. I love that. He didn't claim it. In our hands. It's the Lord placing you in our hands. He knew. What did he know? He knew the hope of his calling. Because he was anointed king. Was he king yet? No. But he knew he was anointed to be king. And he believed Samuel was sent by God. So I'm not king yet. I can't die. And next thing is the riches of his glory. You know, what's going to be done? Wow. But not only that, but who is this Philistine to stand against the Lord's nation? I can't let this happen. You know, the saints are too valuable to allow the enemy to rip me apart. No way. I love the saints. You know, I love them. And I want to stand up against the enemy. You know, he knew the riches of God's glory gave him everything he needed, a sling and some stones. That's all he needed, you know. And he also knew the greatness of God's power. This Philistine is going to be like one of the lions or bears. Like today, you know, everyone's going to see how God wins battles because his power, he just speaks things and they happen. The greatness of God's power. You know, that's a good biblical example, but I want to also try to just put some flesh on it for myself. Some practical example, because chances are you and I are not about to go out and fight a 9'9" guy anytime soon. Or else, you know, quite frankly, I'm probably running the other way unless some supernatural courage comes upon me, you know. But what's a simple way to look at it? And as I was getting ready for this, I was in a home fellowship last week, and my mom asked me if I would go to a funeral for one of her old friends from our old neighborhood. She was 89. She passed away, you know. And I'm like, ugh, like I haven't seen the lady in 30 some years. Haven't seen any of probably 20 years. Haven't seen any of her kids who I grew up with in 30 some years. You know, it's like, wow. And I have this meeting, you know, at church. And I'm like, well, you know, So I even mentioned it to Home Fellowship, and I said, you know, it's like, I really, but I know it's my mom, and charity begins at home. I should love her and go. And so it's kind of like, I'll just do it. So as we're getting ready, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, it was like this, like, veil being lifted up. And I suddenly realized, like that, I'm like, this is Mrs. Murphy. She was that first born-again lady you ever even heard about back when you were 13. This is the lady that when you cut your arm real bad, she laid hands on it and prayed for it. And this is the same lady that when you got saved when you were 29, that when you went back and visited your mom, you knocked on her door. And you said, Mrs. Murphy, I'm saved. And she said, you are. And her eyes, well, come on in, you know. And I went in and we sat down at our kitchen table. We started talking about the Lord, the Bible, her favorite story, Joseph, and all that stuff. And then she actually invited me out to like sing it something. And we just really, that was about the extent of it. But still, she planted seeds in my life. And she was a saint. And she was with Christ. And I'm with Christ in the heavenlies, hidden in him. And I realize he's sending me to this funeral to tell her kids on where she is, what she helped plant in my life and my faith, because I didn't know what their faith was all about, you know. And that's what the point of me going. I was his ambassador sent really from heaven to tell truth from heaven, from God to her family. And I'm like, and then this message is coming up. So I'm like, whoa, it's like, this is all piecing together. You know, it's like, it's so obvious, like, you know, duh. And I'm like, this is awesome. So, you know, I went, and it's what happened. I just said, let me tell each one of them. I said, in fact, one guy walked away crying. I kind of waited there. And then when he came back, I said, listen, I just got to tell you something. But really, I said, I'm just telling you that your mom prayed for your mom's faith. When I got saved, I finally realized what was living in her. And I'm telling you, I had to go tell her. And I know she's with the Lord. I just know it in my bones. And she was such a testimony to me, to my faith. And it was awesome. And you know, that's what this is all about. The hope of our calling and living in that. And the riches of his glory in the saints, and also the greatness of his power is what we're called to do. You know, we're his ambassadors. You know, I was just thinking about how all these embassies are closing around the world for fear of being struck. And, you know, rightly so, right? But in the same sense, you know, we're his ambassadors, you know? And he's not closing up shop. It doesn't matter really even about the danger, does it? Because we've already won. And it doesn't matter how what tribulation might seem to be ahead. He's not finished with us until he's finished with us. And he never closes up. He never gives up on us. And he is calling us to be his ambassador. To plead with people, be reconciled to Christ, man. It's the only life worth living. Someday we're going to be so glad we just died to the old nature and lived his spiritual life here, aren't we? You know, praise God. Let's pray as the worship team comes forward. Lord Jesus, you just have everything good. Everything good we need. Lord, we want to see us the way we really are, Lord God. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, just like that song said, so that we could truly see you, and someday we'll even see ourselves the way we're truly known by you. Lord, thank you for the great work you are continuing to do in us, and you promise never to stop. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.